The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We're going to talk about the impact of background music on consumer behavior and retail buying. But you've been doing a bit of reading up on this one. What exactly does it entail?
Well, so this is all about music psychology. So
okay.
What you hear in the background in a store or, say, an F&B outlet can influence you one way or another. So maybe you'll buy more goods. Maybe you'll order more food.
What does this make you want to buy? Nothing, right? I think I know what you're talking about. So, okay, so like you're walking around on the aisles and, you know, you're hearing music and that influences just how much you buy.
Yep.
Or whatnot. I think a famous example is
Christmas time, right?
Like you hear all that Christmas music and it makes you want to buy more presents.
So I read a very interesting study that the smell, you know, the cinnamon Christmassy smell,
really?
Right? So that actually puts buyers off. But when it's coupled with Christmas music...
Then
they
it works.
Actually engage.
You
yeah.
know, if they can include Christmas cake as well. Okay, I get it.
Free cake always has a good impact.
Yeah,
on
wow.
Buying. Yeah. So background music then has this very strong influence on what products consumers actually buy and how much they're willing to pay as well. And it's been hypothesized, and I almost read that as hypnotized. Because it's kind of like
it's
that.
It's got a hypnotic
right?
effect. Yeah,
it really
yeah.
does. That specific songs or musical genres could prime congruent concepts in a person's memory, and that then shifts their preference or their buying behavior.
Okay, so then if we're talking about businesses, right, especially F&B sector here in Singapore, are they seeing the importance of background music? I mean, you see COVID-19, recorded music at F&B outlets, they now have to be played very softly in the background. I wonder if that has affected them and maybe they don't realise it at all.
I think we need to find out, don't we?
Let's find out more from Jerry Chen, the co-founder and CEO of UC. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time. I'm fascinated by this topic. Okay, so you guys, UC, that is, a company that provides background music, and UC has recently come up with a study titled The Impact of Background Music on Consumer Behavior and Retail Spending. Okay, which music makes people spend the most money then?
that's a great question to start off with. Most of the F&B, of course, they are looking at their P&L, their revenue generation. So this study looks specifically at the role of how pop traditional genre music matches different restaurant themes. So this study went into traditional and Japanese pop music as well as Mexican pop and Mexican traditional music when it comes to Mexican restaurant chain. So this study was conducted sometime in June last year.
Okay.
And it took slightly over a year to have this study came to fruit just recently.
Yeah. Wow, that must have been very meticulous research.
Yeah.
Actually, you mentioned pop just then. This happened the other day. I'd gone to a mall and I walked into a store and they were blaring pop music from the speakers. And maybe it's a function of my age. But after about 5 minutes, I just couldn't take it anymore. It
was
so loud.
That. Yes. I hear you.
I couldn't handle it. It was like my brain was being fried and I couldn't concentrate. So I left. So there you go. Anyway, but I have this question. A lot of this research has been done for decades. So what I'm curious about is you've come out with a very recent study. Why now in particular?
So there are a lot of studies conducted in Europe, in the States. But there are almost no studies that we have found that is conducted in Southeast Asia specifically, because every target audience geographically differs from one another. And you are right, background music does have a great impact on consumer perception, behavior, and how they actually perceive the space. So many F&B outlets or retailers out there, they thought that popular music, just because it's famous, it's a top hit right now on the Billboard charts. It's something safe to use. It's something that people hear before. That's why they're familiar. But it may not necessarily be the case, because it actually could backfire if you play the wrong type of soundscape.
Okay, to add on to that, then what about, okay, so Christmas is fine, everyone's in a happy mood. Chinese New Year, you go into a high-end shopping mall and it's the Chinese New Year Tong Rono Chang music. For some people, it's good. Other people, I've seen with my own eyes, they get turned off and walk away. You mean even the right type of festive music, is this just as important?
Okay, this is a really good point, because we can never satisfy 100% of the consumers. So what we usually recommend to our retailers or F&B owners out there is target that 20% that brings you the 80% of revenue. So you may really irritate the 80%, but if you make that 20% really happy, like, you know, your current customers that really put in the money, buy lots of food, you know, the expensive ones, that is where you need to satisfy that particular niche audience. And that's where you make your P&L better.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Okay.
Never thought of that. Yeah. You would have just thought about mass appeal, right? But it isn't. You just want
so
the spenders.
Very focused.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Wow, Jerry, this is very interesting stuff. Okay, I always thought it would be. All right, so this study that you did here in Singapore focused on F&B players, right? And I'll be honest with you, I always think of Muzak, you know, when I think of going to a restaurant or something like that, and, you know, and you get the sort of typical music going with the cuisine. And you mentioned this earlier when you talked about Mexican cuisine. Why are F&B players, though, not always focusing on music? Because they focus on lots of other things, too.
Sometimes it comes along with, you know, the focus of food. As long as my food tastes good, people will come. But that's not the reality. I think when we look at how F&B patrons or guests, when they go to patronize the space, it's all about the feeling, the emotions. It's more than just the taste of the food. When we speak to many F&B owners, they did claim that music is important, but not important at the same time. Until you see a significant impact, and we do show it through our research, statistics and studies, how this can actually help them increase their revenue or even perception. And even not only the perception of how this place feels like and how it's being valued, but we look into perceived waiting time being shorter using background music. We upsell to voiceover, and we even do mood alteration.
The what?
Two different mood alteration. So we alter your mood, make you more excited, make you feel more romantic, then you order certain type of food. Yeah, go push you into a certain direction.
Wow.
Subconsciously, everything is very subconscious. In fact, if you notice our background music, very specifically, we have filled. You need to just feel it.
Right, yeah. I see what you're saying. So if you've actually picked up on the music, then something's gone wrong. Because it should just be there in the background, you know, gradually manipulating you.
Like, no, like that. You feel a bit romantic in a restaurant. You feel like eating a nice steak, right?
Or the oysters.
With that candlelight.
The nice French wine.
You can always trust Kenny G for that.
Okay. He told me there would be surprises in this. Okay, but I do want to talk about COVID-19. So another true story was in a restaurant recently, and obviously we had a sort of an 8 p.m. booking time and we needed to leave by, what was it, 10. So one of the things the restaurant did was turned off all the music and turned off the AC, and that was when we realized we needed to leave.
Okay.
But has that kind of thing had an impact on the background music?
Oh, yes. In fact, science shows a customized approach actually works. So when we talk about this topic about living, we have a client that actually plays Time to Say Goodbye, and the decibel is 35% higher volume than the normal background music, install music that they are playing.
That's Pavarotti.
So,
Bocelli. Wow.
Yeah, so when the lyrics actually tells you time to say goodbye, you actually see people leaving naturally. There will still be people there, but of course, it's better than, hey, can you please go now? Huh? It's not so rude. It's not so intrusive. It's very subconscious. And when we actually do that, people find it pleasing. It's not so intrusive in such a manner. it's very substantial.
This is a jaw drop moment.
No, this is okay. I get it. I get the concept here. I know where this concept was copied from. It was copied from the Oscars. When a guy is talking for too long, you play music, they get the idea, and you know, they move on. But I am curious though about another aspect, Jerry, the legal aspect. Are there any implications, you know, say brand position and whatnot, if you're playing the wrong background music, or you know, do you need a license to ensure that works? Because I know for weddings for some time that was an issue, right?
Correct. Yeah. So for licensing aspect, many F&B owners and retailers do not understand that playing from YouTube or Spotify not only destroys your brand in a certain angle, but it also infringes on the legal licensing rights. Not many people read the terms and conditions, but you're actually infringing if you just play background music through these mediums like YouTube, Spotify. Even if you play through your MP3 player or your CD, if you can even find CD in today's time, you still have to pay a certain licensing fee to organizations. Otherwise, you have to pay background music suppliers like ourselves that encompass all the licensing framework and manage it conveniently for our clients through a technology platform. Yeah. So it has an aspect to that.
Did you say CD player? There are people alive who don't know what that is. Anyway, ridiculous. But here's a question, and I wonder if you can put a number on this for us. What difference would it make to your bottom line in percentage terms, choosing the right or the wrong background music?
The study specifically brings out a percentage of approximately 8 to 11% on the lower side. And we even have a case study done from our headquarters company in Japan. We actually showed that during Christmas period, Christmas log cakes sell more when the voiceover and a certain type of Christmas music, not just any Christmas music, but a very specific type of Christmas music is being streamed. And the cakes, the log cakes specifically, sold more than 20%. Extra as compared to the other outlets. That means the same brand, so we do A/B testing, normal music, no music, and a very customized approach towards the Christmas music. We did saw an increase in more than 20% sold.
Even choosing the right voiceover in the background while you were like in a supermarket, for example, that definitely plays a big part. Actually, Jerry, it's fitting that you bring up Christmas log cakes, right? Because now we're going into the holiday season, and you know, restaurants and cafes, they're trying to get things going again, you know, maybe in anticipation for phase 3, but they have their concerns cost wise and whatnot. What would your advice be for these small restaurants and cafes?
Some of the tips includes choosing the right music for different time of the day, because your day and evening crowd is very different. It can be office, it can be students, and then later on it could be the white collar, blue collar. So it's a very different dynamic. So your music needs to change from time to time. So if you are able to schedule a time slot, that would be good. That's one.
Okay.
Second, it would actually be good if you are able to put in the right type of voiceover message, not just any voiceover. I like to share this very interesting story. We heard of one of the F&B players having her husband just record the voiceover, but it's not just having a voice. It's not about the message. It's about the emotions that you evoke and how you actually say it. It's not what you say it. And that how and that time that you put in the voiceover for the promotion, for a certain type of set meal or drinks menu to push out, that actually plays a very important part when you have a certain type of trigger, and classical conditioning plays a very important role. Example, how we see a visual logo, you can tune it in the sense of a sonic logo. How this, every time, you know, you go 7-Eleven, it means something, or when you hear something from a TV program or from a radio program, it actually means that a promotion is coming. It means, signifies a certain type of condition, and it subconsciously tells you that, this is going to happen. A promotion.
Tune your customers' brains in that sense.
Training, yes. Ooh. That's how conditioning works. Using sound. And you can close your eyes, but you can never shut your ears.
That is true.
Very, very good point. Okay. Well, as we look forward and we look into phase three and, you know, what sort of music will you be recommending to people in these months ahead? Because we're going through a transition.
Every different F&B outlets or retailers have different brand persona. And within the brand itself, there are decision makers and influencers, as in the consumer, the buyer themselves, and also the objective that they want to have: impulse buying, perceived waiting time. There's a total of 7 elements in play, but these top 3 are the most important. So the brand personality and looking at who you want to get in tune with, that 20% that brings in 80% of your revenue. So that is who you want to target. And if you want people to have a perceived waiting time to be shorter, for example, or you want people to shop in a very luxury vibe and slowly browse and buy, or you want people to do impulse buying when they look at your food menu, things like that, it actually plays a very important role. There is no one single template, and that's where our expertise and specialization comes into play. It's all very customized approach.
Wow, we've had fun with this. We've been speaking with Jerry Chen, co-founder and CEO of UC. Jerry, thanks so much for taking the time. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.